Merkel Media.
He put it in park, threw open the driver's door, ran out the side of the car, crossed the front of it, and jumped right off the side of the bridge in front of me.
The only people who really pulled over were truckers.
He said, "We're going hot," and he didn't slow down. He went across the median onto the oncoming traffic, but where they could see him coming, they just got out of the way.
I noticed his plane was really low. He went right in front of us, hit the fence, and it spun around. You know, 30 seconds more, he could have hit us.
And I went around that truck, and a guy stepped out from behind the truck and threw a piece of wood, and it shot through my window just like a spear and stuck in the back of the cab of my truck.
That's probably one of the stranger things I've seen.
Welcome to Hammer Lane Legends. I am Brian Merkel.
And I'm Brian Shipper.
We hope you've had a good week. And if you have had a good week, well, that's good. What can you say?
If not,
you know,
no.
Yeah, if you have a crazy and wild story you would like to share with us from the road, or if you'd like to have a conversation with us about your experiences on the road, go ahead and contact us at hllpodcast@protonmail.com. That's hllpodcast@protonmail.com. Chip, tell them about the voicemail line.
Short story, something crazy you might have seen on the road during a week, whatever, something happened to you. You can leave that message at 515-585-MERK, 515-585-6375. Short story, 5-10 minutes, yeah, nothing longer than that. So we can compile them up. We'll do a voicemail show. If you have anything longer, get a hold of Jack, our producer, and we'd love to have the conversation with you on an interview dedicated to you.
That's right. Dedicated to you. And what about Buy Me a Coffee? I'm going to go off script. We're just going to...
All right. Keep us fueled. Buy us a coffee at buymeacoffee.com/Hammerlane. It's a virtual tip jar. If you like this show, you feel like you want to contribute and leave a tip, it's a virtual tip jar. Go right ahead and do it. We thank the people that have already, and we appreciate the people that will.
Amen, brother. And, you know, one of these days we're going to have to do a shout out to everybody who's donated, so that, you know, we can just say thank you in person, sort of, but not really. Anyway, if you find yourself in need of any kind of preparedness type of stuff, you know, food or generators, any kind of stuff like
water
that.
Water purification systems.
There you go. Water purification systems or, you know, solar panel generators and all kinds of stuff. They have all kinds of stuff you need at preparewithhll.com. That's preparewithhll.com. 30-year coffee, too. Don't want to forget to mention that.
25-year food.
25-year food.
So you have more coffee than food.
That's true. It lasts longer. So, you know, coffee's important. So all those things, we're all done with all the business end of this stuff.
Also, when you hit the Hammer Lane Legends website, you can check the gear section, and we're accessible on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all the social media platforms.
All of them.
Give a look at the gear section. If you see a shirt or hoodie or whatever you might like, we're working on hats, as they say.
Actually, Jack, I was just talking to Jack this morning about that stuff, and he's looking to get hats. Now that he's being able to do this on a more full-time basis, where he's kind of like our producer and all that crap.
He's got to get more crap together.
He's actually got time to dedicate to it. So I'm excited about what's going to happen, what he's going to do, and what he's going to find. So just stay tuned. But in the meantime, check out the Hammer Lane Legends webpage. And you can also contact the show that way. I forgot to mention that when I was doing the HLL podcast at protonmail.com. You can also go to the Hammer Lane Legends webpage, hit the contact section. You can get a hold of us that way. Either way works for us. Just get a hold of us. Today, we're talking to Mike. Mike, how are you doing?
I'm doing great.
Fan-damn-tastic.
Awesome. Thanks for coming on. We really appreciate you taking the time out of your day, out of your weekend, and having a little bit of sit-down with us and just kind of chew the fat. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, speaking of the sit-down, I had a partial knee replacement surgery of 2 weeks ago. Uh-huh. So that's all I've been doing. Sitting.
God bless you.
How about it?
Perfect timing.
Yes, it is.
Many years of use and abuse of delivering kegs up and down stairs just took the toll on the knees.
Wow, yeah, that'll do it.
Before you know it, you're you know, your 40s, and then you're like, hey, what happened to all the youth when I used to just spring out of the truck and into the accounts? Now I'm like, every move.
Oh, my word, yeah. Boy, do we hear that.
Wait till the next 15 years hit you.
Yeah, it's all downhill from here, so.
Yeah, that's it.
I mean, and that's physically, you know, it's just that we're falling apart. We're like a couple, like we're old trucks, just kind of, you know, we're trying to fix the parts and get them going again, you know. But exactly. Just adjust the air ride and, you know, and
hope
go down
the
road. That's it. But anyway, tell us a little bit about yourself, Mike.
All right. So I'm 48. I've grew up in Colorado my whole life. I was born in Brooklyn. My dad was in the Coast Guard. Then we moved to Colorado Springs because my grandfather had retired at the Air Force Academy in Colorado Springs after Vietnam. And he kind of started a restaurant and bar out here. And so my family moved out to Colorado in a little town called Manitou Springs. And so I grew up there all through schooling. And then I ended up going to the University of Southern Colorado in Pueblo. It's called CSU Pueblo. I went there for about 3 years. So walked on as a wrestler. Probably one of the worst decisions of my life. I weighed 20 and I wrestled 190. So
wow.
Drinking beer and trying to lose weight to make weight was a bad combination.
Boy, you got that right.
Absolutely. So,
but it was fun.
yes, there was a lot of fun. I ended up getting into the trucking industry just by accident, really. I dislocated my kneecap playing flag football, of all things, in college, intramural flag football. So the wrestling coach wasn't very happy with me. But I was like, I got to get out of it. You know, get out of Pueblo, go back home and, you know, get a job and start working. And there was a place called Cub Foods that was just like a little grocery store chain. And they had a deal on Pepsi. And it was like 99-cent six packs. And they were like, okay, all you have to do is take all the pop from this pallet and move it out onto the display. And you're just going to do that all day. And that's literally what I did for 6 weeks.
Wow.
I've never seen people take somebody six packs. I would put them all out there, and by the time I came back, they'd all be gone. So, yeah, I did that for a temp job for about 6 weeks. After that, that contract was over, and Budweiser was hiring for lumpers. Let me roll it back. During the summers and part-time, I had been working for Grable Van Lines and a couple other van lines, more of the day labor stuff. But got to do a lot of furniture delivery, a lot of kind of broke into the business that way of working in, out of trucks locally. But so Budweiser was hiring, and they were hiring for driver helpers. So you would just drive around with the driver all day and then help him deliver the beer. And they actually had a program to get your CDL too, so that you were only a helper for, you know, first 6 months a year of the job. And then you would be able to learn how to drive the truck yourself and then be out on your own.
Oh, that's really cool. So they had that going, was that back in the 90s?
Yep. So we were talking probably about 96, 97. And so I did 6 months or whatever as a helper, kind of learned some of the routes, what to do. And then took the test myself and learned that. So funny story, I guess I'd learned on just a straight six speed. And the first day they stuck me in a truck that had 12 speeds. And I had never, you know, flipped up to the next level.
Right. Here.
What do you do with the other six?
Yeah. I was just like, so I'm going down the highway. It's like the grinding gears. I was like, I don't know what this switch is for.
So, the lights.
So we ended up learning on the fly to figure that part out.
Yes, sir.
I drove that truck for quite a few days before I figured out how to do that. But it's funny when you guys are talking about all the automatic trucks and stuff like that. And, you know, when people learned back in the day, you would just get, you know, put in whatever truck became available, and they were all completely different.
Yes, sir. Absolutely. That is the truth.
Absolutely.
Every day is an adventure.
Yes, it is. I think it, pretty much anyone you ever teach, the first time they try to make a turn, they feel like they're turning in a regular vehicle. And I'm like, you know, stop sign. Oh, there's no stop sign.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. It's not there anymore.
They always put those back up.
So, you know, I had very little actually on the job driving training. I knew how to deliver the beer or whatever, but they had sent me to Denver, and there were some wide open 6-lane roads there. And I'm flying down this road, and then I'm like, oh man, it's a red light. So I slam on the brakes, and I look out my right side, and my trailer is right there with me.
Well, that's just to make sure the doors are closed on the side.
Look, the lights are working.
Yes.
Yeah. See those logos straight down.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look at that. That guy's got the same trailer I have.
Yeah. I ended up leaving there and going over to Coors in Colorado Springs after a year. And I was there for 4 years. So, you know, there's a big rivalry in the beer business. And these two warehouses were only a mile apart. And there was a bar called the Tam O'Shanter right in the middle of the two. And it was just as blue collar as you get. All the drivers from both organizations would be there at the end of the day having happy hour. No women in sight, never.
Hold on 1 minute.
So it really was a happy hour.
Right, it was a really happy hour.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't say that out loud, did I?
But I mean, my question is, wait a minute, if you're delivering, the only beer I know in Colorado is Coors. What's the rivalry?
Bud had come in.
Oh, okay. Guys.
Everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, you know, I don't, Colorado's Coors.
Yeah. Coors Light is the number one seller. Bud is just such a massive organization that Coors had some issues with the unions in the 70s.
Gotcha.
And they didn't want to go union. And, you know, that became a whole fiasco. So Bud was union. They came in and, yeah, it became a whole thing.
Gotcha.
Well before my time, but there were still people that were bitter. And
bitter.
That stays for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm like, you've been mad at Coors since 1976? Okay.
Maybe it's time to get over it.
Yes, really.
Yeah. I met a couple people like that along my journeys, and I'm like, you know, that guy's been dead for 20 years. You're still mad at him?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so I just ended up going over to Coors. I had a better opportunity, had a little bit better routes, and they just ran things slightly different. Mm-hmm. So the guy that taught me, we called him Easy Ed Lucarini, and he was such a throwback, man. Elvis hair. We called him Elvis. He had the slick back hair. Just kind of danced around, smoked 3 packs a day, and probably drank a dozen coffees. Had his jacket on at all times, no matter if it's 100 degrees or 10. And, he was just old school. He must have been in his mid to late 60s when he was showing me the routes.
Wow.
We pull up a stoplight one time, and there's a guy out there holding a sign. I mean, they're everywhere now, but at the time, you know, it was sporadic. And So Ed would always have to pull over to get coffee. I'm talking, if we weren't at a stop getting coffee, we were driving for more than a half an hour. He's like, we got to go to the gas station and get coffee.
I know how he feels.
Straight black coffee and cigarettes. So we pull up to the stoplight. He gives the guy a dollar. And then we pull over to this gas station. And he sees the guy walking over there. The guy, I'm not kidding you, has a Jaguar parked behind the gas station, opens up the trunk, throws a sign in, and hops in. Oh, God. I just gave you my last dollar.
He gave him an extra 2 cents of his mind then, too, right?
Yes, yes, he did. He was not having it after that.
Wow.
Talk to the guy driving the Jaguar at the last stop.
Right. Yeah, so after that, needless to say, there was no handing money to panhandlers.
Right, exactly.
You hear that so many times. That's not the first time I've heard it, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Where
it's becoming more and more you're hearing that type of stuff.
Yes, unbelievable.
One of the funniest ones I ever saw, there's a guy that he was consistently on this corner in Denver, and I would see him every morning on my way to work. And he had something wrong with his leg. He's kind of limped up and down the road, always had a sign. And this guy pulls up to him and tried to hand him a 30-pack of beer out the window. And the guy ran from him. I was like, yeah, most of the time, that's the gold mine for these guys. This guy really does want just some food.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, they do.
Couple of those run-ins.
Yeah.
So, funny enough, Ed was just such a good guy, and he was just so stressed out. Plus, he had been on, he had been in the military, been, in the beer business for 30 years, and he should not have been on a truck anymore. So they ended up offering him basically the janitorial services, and I've never seen a guy happier in my life. Talk about whistle while you work. He would literally be dancing around the warehouse, pushing that push brim. You just like, I'll pick up plastic and push this brim all day. I don't have to deal with one customer. I get coffee anytime I want.
Man after your own heart, Brian.
Yes, sir. All day, every day. Yeah.
Never seen a guy happier to push a broom.
Well, you got to look, like you said, he's had that, pretty much time invested in the company. They just probably said, he's like the dirt on the floor. Might as well just let him be with amongst his peoples.
Yeah, he came with the building.
He came with the building.
Yeah, it was funny because it was right in the middle of a transition. That distributor had been owned by the same brothers since the 40s. And in the mid-90s, they sold.
Mm-hmm.
And one of their sons took over as president, but the ownership, was a multiple ownership group. But they kept all the pieces that have been there forever, which was great.
Yeah, I mean,
if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
If it's a great organization, don't mess with it. Yep. Change the nameplate and go.
Exactly.
Right, yeah. Double new, some new paint and ready to rock.
Amen, bro. Right.
There was, the beer neons was kind of a big deal. They pretty costly if you're talking about all the beer neons in a city or whatever. So we would have a guy that would fix them. He'd just Frankenstein them together. It's not like he, did melted glass or whatever, gassed them back up. So if it said Coors broken on the top and the light was good, and then the other one was the opposite, you would just take that piece off, put them together, and send them back up.
Wow, yeah, there you go.
He was, he was in his 80s. He had retired, and then I think his wife said, get the hell out of the house. You need to go, I can't stand you in here all day. You need to go do something.
Right.
Yeah, buddy.
I got to put up with you 24 hours on the weekend. No, you're getting out of here for 16 during the week.
So his name was Jonesy, and he had been doing it so long, he was telling me the stories of rolling in the full kegs, because the normal metal kegs you see are called half barrels. They're like 15 and a half gallons, but normal kegs back in the day were 30 gallons. And you can imagine how heavy those damn things were, the big wooden ones that put on the side. And he said, you know, these are big old open trucks in the back that just have these out. And he would roll into the eastern part of Colorado and he's like, and we'd stop for a beer at each place we made a delivery. We'd be tanked by the time we made it out the back.
You know what? I would not mind having that kind of gig.
We'd load up the next day and do the same thing.
Wow.
Never had to buy a beer in his life.
Nope. I go in there one day and I just used to love hearing his stories. And
That was like a gold mine full of stories.
Absolutely. And he was just such a nice guy. And he would be in there and, you know, there's neon parts hanging everywhere. There's electricity hooked up to everything. And instead of using a tester or doing probably what OSHA would like you to do today, he would just grab onto things to see if they were alive.
Yep. What, your fingers there or just, yeah, we got juice here.
I don't know if it kept them alive longer or damn near killed them. I would go in there and I'd be like, Jonesy, what do? He'd be like,
he's defibrillating himself every 5 minutes.
He's like, yep, that one worked.
Yeah, that's a hot one there.
Friggin' A.
So we had a massive issue with old beer. So Budweiser had come out with their born on dating system, I don't know, in the 80s or early 90s.
Right.
Before that, you could probably have beer in your garage for 10 years, and as long as it was cold, no one cared. But now, you know, they were so worried about the dates. So Coors had a dead date. So if it said April 1st, 2023, you know, it's no longer good after that date or whatever. But we had merged with Miller, so it became Miller Coors, but this was just locally. So we had to take the entire warehouse of Miller beer and put it into the Coors warehouse, which, to be lightly, was a shit show. Just you hired all those people from both companies, and we said, okay, we have this weekend to move two warehouses into one. So we had every single driver, every single guy on the forklift, and people that should not have been on forklifts.
Good thing it was bad beer.
A couple just shenanigans happened that time. So we have the old swing doors. I don't know if you guys have seen those, but essentially the delivery trucks either have roll-up doors on the side or open swing doors. And those swing doors, I mean, they're, unless you put a lock on them, you know, you're just hoping they stay closed.
Right.
I'm coming around the corner, and it was only maybe another mile and a half to this warehouse. So all three major warehouses were in the same area. But you had to come around a big six-lane road down and then, you know, come down and around the corner to deliver or to go to our warehouse, of course. And I came around the corner. And, you know, everyone was just doing everything so fast. So the drivers literally wouldn't even get out of the truck. They just sit there and then let the forklifts load them on the side, close them up, and then say, go. And then same thing, pull up, unload them, and then go back and pick up another load. Well, the doors weren't closed all the way. And the amount of Corona bottles that came out and spilled across this took up all six lanes. You have never seen so many people try to help themselves.
Oh, yeah. I bet.
Wow.
Talk about, I mean, it was a disaster closing down the whole damn street and try to put all this broken beer back on there. But, yeah, there was plenty of people that would stop and pick up themselves a case and keep driving. But
I got this one for you.
Yeah, at that point, I was like, I don't care. Let's just get it out of the street so I can get on in here.
But, yes, sir.
And they must not have loaded this truck full when I got here to the warehouse. I don't know.
I don't know.
Why is it there's a beer trail all the way back to the other warehouse?
Right. That's so we don't get lost.
It's just foam.
Yes.
I don't know what happened. So,
these guys had basically just stopped looking at the dates of their beer because they knew they were selling. So they left all the old beer out in the market. And part of the deal was we had like $1.5 million or whatever, which isn't a lot now, but at the time it was, to be able to go pick this stuff up and destroy it. Well, that meant literally going to the accounts, trading out case for case, bringing it back to the shop. And then we had a little place where you would dump all your old beer and fix your breakage, whatever, clean off the bottles that were good. But you literally had to open every single can and every bottle and dump them down this drain.
Oh, wow.
Imagine picking up 10 pallets of beer and then opening every bottle and every can. And that was what you had to do after work.
No, I so think I think I would have done the way you did it. Just leave the leave side the door open and let it dump. Got nothing here.
There was guys sitting over there. One for me, one for the thing.
And they were doing that. They were doing that on a Friday. They were still there Monday.
Oh, big old steak knife over there that you would stab the cans to make it faster, which I'm sure was not OSHA friendly either.
Right.
Now they just have trash companies come in and crush everything, and then you know, kind of separate it that way. But yeah, it was literally open every can, thousands of cans, and we actually had a bunch of guys quit during that time because they would go out with 1,000 cases and come back with 1,000 cases, and then they were supposed to sit there and drain everyone until they get, you know, before they could go home.
Wow!
Somebody's got a howitzer. Get this done easy. Wow! So, I mean, they did. Not to get off topic, but they do that. I heard with the water plants down here in the valley.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
like Niagara and them.
Yeah, yeah. I've heard that story too, where they bring back the old water and dump it out. It's water. Let me see where this water is going to go. It's going to go in the ground. And where are you getting your water from? The ground.
Yeah, exactly.
It gets refiltered in the dirt.
So we had this guy, Stan, and he was the Italian stallion, man. He always had the comb in his back pocket, slick his hair, and he really would say, "Hey, how you doing, huh?" He talked to all the ladies.
Oh.
And Stan just did not like to dump his old beer. He would just literally wheel it over by you, act like it wasn't his, and then walk away.
So, they told me to put this over here.
Look over, and you got 20 more cases all of a sudden. You're like, hey, wait a sec.
Smart so, guy.
Stan did this to me like 6 times in a row. And at the time, I was loading trucks. And I found the oldest truck we had in the fleet where it took forklifts to open the doors, and this thing barely started, and it was extra high. So normally you would have 7 or 8 cases high. This thing was like 12 cases high. So it was very hard to get them out when you're on the street when it's that high,
without right.
killing yourself or hitting yourself in the head with the cases trying to stack them. So I loaded up all of his old beer on pallets. And I loaded his truck, and I stuck a pallet on top of every single one of his pallets with all of his old beer. And so when he came in, he was like, "What's all this extra stuff?" I'm like, that's your beer. That's your beer you kept leaving out here." He's like, "Well, how am I supposed to get to the new stuff?" I said, "I don't know. I guess you probably stopped leaving your old beer for other people."
Start opening some cans.
And I did go one step further. He had cases of 40s, and I opened up the bottom, and then I just put the flaps back together. So as soon as he grabbed the handles to pull them off, he had grenades coming out the bottom.
A little coworker humor.
Oh, yeah.
I've never seen a guy look so sad in his entire life.
Sad Stan. How you doing now?
He never left his old beer or breakage for anybody again.
Well, lesson learned.
Right. He was a great guy. So he was just a ladies' man. He was in his 40s, and we would call him in if we were having a, like if a salesman was having a hard time, hey, we're trying to get a new draft line here, a placement. Stan, this, there's a cougar over here. She's single. We need you to come in and seal the deal for us. So we're at that Tam O'Shanter right there, the blue collar bar. And it's like the first time I've ever seen a woman in there that wasn't in the business or, you know, just somebody's wife. There's a gal dressed to the nines. And I call Stan and I'm like, hey, buddy, there's a live one here. You better hurry up, though. And he's like, well, I have a date, but I'll swing in real quick.
I'll see if I can trade up.
And he comes in. I'm like, oh, man, you're too late. There's a guy over there talking to her. And I was like, $20 says you can't get her number before you leave. He walks over there and he sticks his arm between the girl and the guy and puts his arm around her and is like, hey, how you doing? The guy's face is at 1 inch from the back of Sam's head. And he just doesn't even turn around. He just keeps talking to the girl. And I'm not kidding you. 10 minutes later, he's walking out the bar with this girl. And I look back and he's like, you owe me $20.
$20.
I got a date in an hour.
Wow.
Stan the man, for sure.
The closer.
Absolutely. Yeah, we had sent him over to another place. There was a hotel bar, and we were trying to get a couple of trap lines. And we said, Stan, you got to go talk to the scal. And so he goes over and he works his magic and he calls me and he's like, yeah, go ahead and send in 2 kegs tomorrow. You got that draft line.
Wow.
Put Stan in public relations.
How about it, huh?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Oh, that's so funny.
When you drive a beer truck, it's fairly easy to target you for, you know, people want to try to steal some beer off you or whatever.
Right.
And it happens quite frequently, especially if you downstack your beer, wheel some in, you come back, you have one less case sitting on top. And I had kegs stolen one time. I mean, that's ballsy. And plus they weigh so much. I mean, you really got to be able to get in there fast and grab them before somebody notices. But we had this guy and he would carry around the Crocodile Dundee knife. And he was like, this is just my knife for plastic. I'm like, yeah, everybody else has box cutters.
You've got a machete. Go for it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And he came out one time. And I don't know why it is, but in the beer business, there's guys that will wear shorts year round and it'll be 10 below. Blizzard. They got shorts on. Doesn't matter. And this guy comes up and somebody had pulled up with a bicycle and was trying to grab a case of beer to put on his bicycle.
Must have been a transplant from Oregon.
And the guy runs across the highway with the case of beer and he's like, I got your bike. Ah. He threw it in the back of the truck and took off.
Now the beer truck has a bike rack on the back. Right.
So I wanted to tell you guys about some of the beer war stuff that happened. So in the mid late 90s, it just got really bad with the competition. And I mean, to where there was fist fights and all kinds of stuff, people trapping each other in coolers and trying to take each other out.
Wow.
Yeah, it got bad. But people would go into the back of bars and they would grab the beer lines, which are, you know, just big food grade beer lines, and they would pull them through the wall and then take a little knife and, you know, puncture them and then let them back through the wall. So they would spring back in there and it would just leak beer out. So multiple things happened there because the beer would do nothing but foam and you couldn't really figure it out because you couldn't see it because it was back behind the wall.
Right.
Also, the whole keg dumping out in the back of inside somebody's wall.
In somebody's wall.
Nice. Yeah. Great.
Nice amount of mold back there.
Yeah. I was going to say, in a couple, about a week or so, that should smell ripe.
Oh, yeah. A lot of those coolers. But it got so bad where the presidents had to have a meeting because people were taking their knife and cutting the little plastic ring inside of a keg when you pull off the top. So then when you went to tap, it wouldn't get a connection. There'd be air in there and it would just waste the whole keg.
Right.
Wow.
We're talking hundreds and hundreds of kegs out there within a 3-4 month period. And then you got to go pick them up, trade them out. You know, the bar's all pissed off because they have foamy beer. All this stuff happened behind the scenes that, you know, customers never would really see. But,
wow.
It got to where these guys in Pueblo, was a huge union place, and we didn't have very many drivers down there, but somebody was messing with one of the guys down there. They were literally trying to physically bully him, and somebody got their kingpin pulled. And so when they went to pull out their tractor, their trailer didn't move.
Wow, so yeah.
Imagine. It ripped out all the airlines, punctured big giant holes into the parking lot. It had just been poured. Wow. It got extremely ugly for a while.
Oh, my word. Yeah. Holy cow.
Yeah. I mean, people were concentrating more on that than they were on doing their job. And yeah, it was wild. There was, I had one where the guy, we would be in an alley at the same time, 8 a.m. every Tuesday or whatever, and we'd have to deliver 100 cases, 20 kegs each down these stairs. And there was a parking garage there. Well, this guy would never pull out. He'd always beat me there by 5 minutes, but he wouldn't pull his truck up far enough so that I would be parked. I would be blocking the parking garage entrance. And you can imagine all the people trying to get to work that are trying to park in the parking garage.
Oh, yeah. All those happy campers. There. Yeah.
So he did that to me a few times. So the last time I pulled my bumper all the way up, and on the back of your trailers you would have your dolly,
right?
And I put my bumper on his dolly tires, and then I just turned my music all the way up and I just leaned back and pretended I didn't notice. He was out there screaming, "I can't get my dolly." I was like, "I can't hear you." What?
Holy cow.
Oh, man.
This lady comes up, she's screaming and yelling, "I need to get to work." And I'm like, "That's the king of beers up there. They don't need to move for you, obviously. I mean, you just talk to them." He's union. He doesn't. Oh, man. So,
we were here first. We're your local hometown beer.
Right. So we had these liquor guys that were union. And I never really cared about the union, not union. I totally understand why they would have unions and what they're good for. But at the same time, it was breeding, you know, just a lot of laziness in people. And instead of somebody doing a great job and getting it, you know, a promotion or whatever, some guy just been there a long time would get it. Well, there was this older guy that was delivering liquor, and he had a couple kegs. And we were by a college area. And he would always put them in front of the swing door of the cooler. And it was just two girls that were probably $1.05 each that worked there at the bartenders.
Right.
And they can't move two kegs. And this guy's like, "Not my job, I'm union." And he would walk out the door every week. And I'm like, "Dude, I have to move them for them now because I can't get in the cooler." So I followed this guy around all the time, and I was constantly moving his kegs because he would say that to the ownership. "Nope, I move it in the door, and then that's that." And I'm like, "No, it doesn't work that way. I still got to put, you know, 50 cases behind here, and I got to rotate and whatever."
Wow.
So this guy, he was at a nightclub, and he kept doing this. And this nightclub, this cooler was probably 40 foot long. It was a massive cooler.
Holy cow.
But he would put the two damn kegs right at the end in front of the door. First of all, I'd have to move them just to open the door. And then I would have to move them all the way down out of the way so I could put 100 Corona, 100 Coors Light in this nightclub every week. So, and he would never pick up any of his empties or anything. So there was a wall of empty kegs in this cooler, just four, you know, stacked four high. So I started taking his kegs and hiding them behind the empties. And then about 8 weeks later, I had the owner come in and I said, "Hey, you got, 16 of these kegs back here. What do you sell a week?" And he's like, "A quarter of one keg." I'm just like, well, there's no way these are going to get used in time. Why is this guy bringing you 16 kegs? And this guy was fired up, man. And these guys, it was a 65-mile drive to the Denver where they were based out of, and this was in the spring. And he's calling this guy, yelling and screaming at him, cussing on the phone. He's like, "You get your ass back here and you get these kegs picked up." So this guy was all the way back in Denver, and he had to come back, and he's like, "I didn't drop off 16 kegs." Like, they're right there, dude. Looks like you did. Mr. Union, I guess you're picking them up, aren't you?
They don't say cores on them, do they? Nope, not mine.
No. I was like, "Keep messing with me, buddy."
Yeah.
Those were good times.
Wow.
So I had been a bad boy, and I had ended up getting a DUI.
Say it's not so.
It was the emptying the cans at the end of the day. And he had to drive home.
Right. So I had made it into sales, and we drove little vans around and basically just did promotions, neons up and stuff. Anyways, I get this DUI, and the owner's like, "All right, we're going to keep you on, but you have to be the best employee we have here, or your ass is out the door." He's like, "You better be early, stay late, work any extra hours." He's like, "You better be the very best employee in this building, or else you're out of here." So, and I had to work graveyard. So I went from, wheeling a deal and having a great time out there in the streets to, loading trucks graveyard.
That sucks.
And there was only three of us. I ended up becoming the shift supervisor, because the other guys, the guys you get at night either have DUIs, have criminal past, either maybe their family works during the day, so they have to work at night, but normally it's the first two, or they're just they have some serious drug or alcohol habits. So rarely do they show up on time, or if at all.
Right.
Their shift would start at 11. They roll in at 3 drunk.
We're here.
Sort of.
So we had this really old forklift. I mean, it barely creaked along. And the Corona pallets were very skinny, and we would have them 4 deep and 3 high. So when you were getting to the end of one of the rows, you would be back there in no man's land with barely any light, and just kind of hoping you're grabbing onto the right thing, or the forks are in the right amount of length. Well, I had 2 pallets. There was 1, 2 stacked in front, and then 3 stacked in the back. So I'm trying to grab this from the first stack, the middle pallet, just that one. Well, I accidentally grabbed both the pallets behind it too. And when I went to pull out, I look up, and that one that was stacked 3 high comes flying down on top of my forklift. Nothing I could do. So, you're lucky you got a roll cage and everything, but it just shattered, and I was just drenched in beer, and it went all the way through the forklift and through the electric, and it stopped the forklift. Well, I couldn't back out, and I was probably 5 or 6 pallets deep into this hole. So I literally just had to sit there until another guy came by, because the music would be up so loud, everybody's kind of doing their own thing, and there's only 3 of us. So I sat there for an hour until a guy finally drove by and saw that I was stuck in there.
What the hell are you doing there?
That time.
Taking a break.
Smoke them if you got them.
Wow.
Yeah, that was not a great. So, another wild story is, I don't know if you guys have ever moved forks on a forklift, but they're extremely heavy. And these you would just manually kind of move in if the pallet was shorter, and then out if the pallet was wider. And I'm at the front of the warehouse, and I see this guy like dancing around at the end. And I'm like, what the hell is that guy doing down there? And I mean, that's quite a distance down the warehouse. So I get on my forklift, I drive down there, and there is a ring of little splatters of blood all the way around this guy, and a massive pattern. He had got his fingers caught under that fork when he was moving it over, and they damn near hacked him off.
Wow.
And he was dancing around with his blood just squirting out of his nubs.
Wow.
Yeah. I was just like,
you might need medical attention there.
Yeah. Dad's put a band-aid on it. You'll be going, but don't worry about it. You'll be fine. That's right. Duct tape. It does everything.
Yep. Rub some dirt on it. You'll be fine.
We'll call you stubby, but you'll be fine.
Of course, there was the occasional guy that was still there that had been there since 3 o'clock dumping his old beer and just had passed out in the lounge. There was one guy I'd have to go wake up every morning. I'm like, hey, dude.
Your shift started.
Shift started. I was like, yeah, you never left, man.
I'm early.
Yeah. I was like, shower and brush your teeth, for God's sake.
Oh, wow.
So we had, you know, you run into quite a few guys that drink a lot, you know, on these jobs. But there was a guy that he drank so much, but he, you know, he didn't want to have like beer breath. So we had, I don't know if you guys remember Zima.
Yes.
Yeah.
But, oh, yeah. Something different.
And,
it was different, all right.
Yes, it was.
You know, it had no flavor, really. So he would open up his cab at the end of the day to like unload, and all these Zima bottles come rolling out, empty Zima bottles from his cab. And I'm like, what are you doing, man?
I'm emptying my bottles.
Oh, I just put some breakage up here. I'm like, yeah, they weren't broken and they were completely empty.
Wow. Unbelievable.
Yes, sir.
Unbelievable. But
yeah, that was kind of what I had for Colorado Springs. So I ended up moving to Denver after that. And I worked for Denver Coors for about 17 years.
Wow.
And I had, so I started in just a regular truck, and I actually did the mountain route, which was really easy. You don't even deliver a couple hundred cases of beer, but you know, it was a couple hundred miles sometimes, you know, to little tiny towns. But, You guys are in Pennsylvania, so you have the snow, you know, treacherous as it can be out there. And one time we had one of the guys that's like, hey, we have an overnight route that would take doubles and triples up into the middle of Colorado, and it would drop the trailers off. And the guys actually lived up there. So in the morning they would just come out and their trucks would have, would be, you know, loaded with a new trailer.
Right.
So you would go there and hook their trucks up to these trailers and then take the empties back. Well, I had never driven doubles or triples. And the first night, these were overnights, so it started at, you know, 10, 11 o'clock. And he's like, so you have your choice. There's three trailers. You can either take all three and do it one time, or you can take two and come back and do another load. And I was like, well, I've never even driven doubles. I don't know if I want to drive triples the first time after I even drive right. doubles. And, of course, it's a blizzard. And it's over these crazy passes. And, I mean, I have never white-knuckled like that in my entire life. But I was probably going 5 or 10 miles an hour down this place called Floyd Hill. It's treacherous if it's not snowing. But, yeah, I ended up taking doubles, and then I did that for a couple of days, and it was out there in the middle of the night trying to unhook these trailers.
Yes, sir. Holy cow.
Everything doesn't move when it's cold.
No, it doesn't, including you.
Right. And I was like, I know why no one keeps this job full time, because he was basically just taking daytime drivers and begging them to do it every once in a while. And he's like, well, I'm gonna hook you up for doing that. We had a 40-foot RV that was it used to be Sterling Marlin's, he was a NASCAR race
right.
driver.
Yeah.
So they would have those RVs that sat in the infield where everybody partied on the top or whatever. So after his contract, Corey's got the RV back, and they're like, we want you to take the Colorado Rockies players around Colorado, and you're going to take them to the baseball camps, kids' baseball camps. I was like, that sounds like a much better plan
than being out in the
graveyard. And I got to drive kind of all over the state with a lot of these guys. You know, it's a bunch of their younger guys, and you know, I ended up getting a nice Rockies jacket. Hung out with a lot of the guys, and it was really cool.
That is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kind of hanging out with the players that then you see on the field later. It was really nice.
That's so, a cool perk. That's a really cool perk.
I ended up getting into sales later, and I was in Lodo, which is kind of our lower downtown. It's right next to Coors Field, and it's just the major party place. At this time, though, you know, I'm in my early 30s, but I mean, I felt like I was 50. We had these nightclubs on Sundays, Mondays, Tuesdays with all these 21s, and we were hanging out with Broncos players and doing all kinds of stuff and just drinking all hours, and then still having to have a 6:30 a.m. meeting for sales. And
wow. Yeah,
it wore me down. I felt like I was down there 10 years and I was down there 3 years. I ended up I ended up with downtown Golden, and then we have some casinos here up in the mountains, and I had that route for 8 years. And yeah, it was a lot of driving, but it was much more laid back, and people are more my age, that I'm not trying to give a blinky button to at 1 a.m. You guys would be amazed at the amount of people that try to fight you because they didn't get a free t-shirt or a free koozie. Or
wow.
I had a gal come up to me at 1:45 in the morning. The lights are on. They're clearing out the place. She's like, hey, you didn't give me one of those Corona neck hangers. So we had these neck hangers that you could put a bottle in, and basically you just carry your bottle around your neck then.
Okay.
It was ridiculous, first of all. But I'm like, yeah, that promo was at like 10 p.m. I haven't had any since then.
Right.
She's like, give me one now.
Wow. Like,
I don't have any, lady. Stuff like that was hours ago. I said, I would give you one. You think I want to keep these things? And then she starts swinging on me.
Wow.
Yeah, my buddy ended up in a brawl with her. And she was a big girl. She was a big girl. So I would have whipped up on me.
So, I'll tell you what, I got some of these half keg hangers here. Yeah, let me move these right. out.
Might work better right. for you.
Yeah, I couldn't get all that crap away fast enough after a while. People were saving some of the stuff. I'm like, get it away. I don't need another blinky button, another bottle opener, another keychain. I want none of it.
Here's the box. Have at it.
Right. We used to get... we would be able to buy maybe 3 or 4 cases a month at like $7 a case. And then they would have deals too, where they gave you free cases of stuff that was close to expiring or newer stuff they were trying out or whatever. But there'd be times where I have 80 cases of beer in my garage. You know?
I've got my own palate.
You never had that. You always had a friend stopping over. That's yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. I'd have to call people and be like, "Hey, get this stuff out of here," because I would have so much. And I haven't had a drink in almost 15 years now.
Wow.
So yeah, my last probably 8 or 9 years I was sober there. So the first year was really tough because you would win these trips that were all inclusive and you would be at all these wacky parties and stuff. And yeah, I'd just be twiddling my thumbs in the corner and watching everybody lost.
Yeah, this is a blast. It's going to get fun in a little bit, though. Right. All the crazies are going to be coming out.
Oh, for sure. So I won a trip to Rockies Fantasy Camp. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of those Major League Baseball fantasy camps, but every team has one. You go to their spring training facilities, and you actually get to play as a player for a week before spring training starts. So... yeah, it is awesome. But you go out the first day and you just kind of do warm-ups and practice, and they see who can throw, who can catch, whatever, so that they have a draft. And then they draft, you know, you have to have a certain number of pitchers on each team. If you got no pitchers, you know, it's not really a game. But at the same time, it was 21 to 90 years old. So,
wow.
I mean, these tickets were probably, you know, when I went in 2007, maybe like $4,500 or something each. Wow. I just happened to win one. Coke had a couple guys and Coors had a couple guys. But there was people, there was a guy that owned his own big jet there. There was, you know, just a bunch of millionaires and stuff. But one of the guys was in his 90s and he got hit 8 times in 7 games with the ball. He just leaned in every time. Never swung once.
He had a great on-base percentage.
And all the bruises to show.
Yes, sir.
it was great. You went out there and, you know, hit and pitched and everything. And I really hadn't played baseball before. I'd done some softball. But then they drafted 4 teams, and then you played each other. You played during the day, I think 3 times, and then under the lights once. And the last day, you played the coaches. But
that's really cool. Guys were
reliving their youth for sure. Right. We had a guy that could throw 68 miles an hour. He had been a minor league pitcher at one time, and that was the top pitcher. So by the time you got to the third or fourth day, when guys were icing their arms, it was knuckleballs. Right. Yeah. So they were like, anybody else can pitch here? Because we really can't even get him past the plate.
Yeah, but now we're
doing with the rubber closer.
We're doing softball pitches, you know, underhand. It's the best I can do. I'm sorry, coach.
Well, you know, I hadn't played organized baseball. I was a wrestler and I played football, but really hadn't played baseball. And so we have our team out there and they're like, okay, who wants to play first, second? And a lot of these guys that come every year and they kind of have their position set and they just knew what they wanted to be and whatever. And so they're like, catcher. Nobody raises their hand. I'm like, oh shit, I'll do it if, you know, nobody else wants to do it. And after the first day, I know why nobody raised their hand. Getting up and down into that stand 100 times.
And then staying down there for, you know, until he pitches the ball, until you actually give your knees a break.
Right.
Holy cow.
And they had given me this pamphlet a week before I left. And it's like, okay, so 6 months before, you should be doing these stretches and you should be in the batting cage this many times. And I'm like, I'm going in a week. So I was in the batting cage. I got 10 balls and stretched once. And then I was down there. And I was not in pristine shape, let me tell you that.
That's why they call it fantasy camp.
Right. After the first day, I was in the training room in the cold tub, the hot tub, getting the massages. I was just like, good God, man. Rub me down enough to get me back out there tomorrow.
Yeah. So you keep telling yourself, it's only a week. It's only a week.
It's only a week. And if I can walk back out, I'll be happy.
So the last day I was out there, I mean, I couldn't even reach the ball. So if it was outside, I just let it pass me, and then I would pass the hump for a new ball.
That's dirty.
Clint Hurdle was the Rockies coach, and you'd have all the coaches out there with you. And he's like, yeah, great effort out there, Scott. I can't barely stand up. I was like, I can't reach those ones on the outside. And the one time I was up to bat and then hit a ground, a ground out. I had to run back and put on the gear real quick and come back out there. Well, I was in a rush and I didn't put it all on. And the very first ball hit me right square in the thigh, in the inner thigh. Oh, yeah. That was a big bruise.
I bet it was.
He's like, where's your gear? You're supposed to have all your gear. I can't even walk, coach.
And now I really can't walk.
Right. Well, look at it this way. They're not going to start the game without the catcher, so you got to take all the time you need.
I should have. Believe me, I mean, you got 80-year-old men shuffling out there, and they're beating me.
We've been here before.
Yeah. Like, no wonder the guy's leaning in every time.
Right.
He's going to first base.
After the first one, it really doesn't hurt much.
Right. So we actually got to play a game at Coors Field. It was actually against the Phillies. And so after a game, they basically had whoever was at fantasy camp. Everybody made it, but we went into two teams instead of four teams. And there was like an 85-year-old woman on our team because they would send a couple of the ushers every year to fantasy camp.
Uh-huh.
And they'd be like, hey, she can't play the outfield. She's got to play catcher. So you got to be in the outfield. And I don't know if you guys have ever stepped on to a major league outfield, but good God, are they huge.
I bet.
I'm just like, don't hit it to me. Don't hit it to me. Right. The first guy up, last one, and it's going over my head. I could see him like trotting around like it's going to be in the park home run because it would have taken, three or four people relay to get it back with my arm.
I have a better shot with the golf cart. Yeah. Bring it out.
So I'm sprinting for my life and I just stick my glove up and I actually snow coned it. And I have the best picture of catching this ball with my stomach protruding out, not even looking, with just my arm up, the glove up, and snow coned it.
Wow.
I'm like, that's it. I retired.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say, you got up, brushed yourself off. Moment. That's all, folks.
See you next year.
In my absolute disbelief. He's like, how did you catch that? I'm like, I have no idea.
Look at the replay.
Right. I told you not to hit it to me.
Right. You're out there in the outfield. You're praying for two things. One, either hit it somewhere else or hit it way over this wall.
Right.
That was a foul ball. That umpire didn't know.
There was no fantasy leaguers hitting it over that wall.
No, I guess not. Wow.
A couple of the guys thought they were really good. And we played the coaches the last game. And, these coaches, they're 30s to 60-year-olds, but they were turning double plays on us like no problem. I mean, just the level of talent. Even guys that had gone, 10 for 12 with five home runs were just getting struck out or doubled out.
So leaning into that ball seems
like a good plan.
Yeah. The only problem is the coaches threw it a lot harder.
Right.
By the time you're done, you can't remember your name or anybody else's or what you're doing, right. But at least you got on base.
It's all that matters.
It was really cool having the announcers, everything, just like you were, a real team, had the big team photo and all the full jerseys and everything. And
that is really cool. Yeah. That's a heck of a memory. That's really neat.
Absolutely. Do they still call it Coors Field out there?
Yep.
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. Still Coors Field.
Well, how woke we are anymore, with the beer and cigarettes and everything, Redskins can't be Redskins. I just didn't know. I didn't know if it filtered out that way because you got to come in from the West and the East with California. Yeah.
Well, there's plenty of it. When I was at USC, Pueblo. We were the Indians, but that was offensive, so they changed it to the Mighty Thunderwolves.
Oh, the Thunderwolves.
Thunderwolves.
Nice.
Yeah, I just don't get it. Yeah, what are you?
What's that going on?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys didn't start with your pronouns today, so I really don't know how to.
I'm moving to adjectives. I'm not using pronouns anymore. It's more like likely or not likely.
Yeah, this ain't grammar. This isn't a course in grammar. Let me tell you that. I might be a wordsmith, but that's
just be a prepositional phrase. Right.
Funny enough, you know, I'd listened to Tony's show for a while. I just like a lot of good conspiracy stuff, and
right.
I actually have a Bigfoot story if you guys would like to hear it.
Heck yeah. And,
so down in Colorado Springs on Pikes Peak, you're not allowed to camp there overnight. It's just kind of a scenic highway, and they do races there towards 4th of July. There used to be camping and stuff, but they just stopped allowing that. And it's just kind of a road that's patrolled by rangers and what have you, and open during the day. You can go all the way up the top and, you know, see all the way to Kansas, basically. So one of our buddy's dads was a ranger there, and he let us in at night on an old back road. There was some kind of old foundation there we camped at. And being teenage punks, we decided to go up to the reservoir and try to go fishing at night. You know, we weren't supposed to be using anything but lures, but I wasn't a good fisherman, so, you know, I had to use what I had to use.
Exactly.
M80s, dynamite. They right. all come floating to the top.
So we're on the shore here, and this is, since there hasn't been camping allowed there, the forest is just extremely loaded with old dead trees and what have you. And, you know, if you don't stick to the trail, you're really just going through a bunch of crazy brush and stuff, because no one's ever burned out any of the old stuff. So anyways, it's probably a good half mile from the road down to this reservoir. So we get down there, and it's just moonlight, and we're just sitting on the shore fishing, you know, probably drinking beer, being idiots. And we see this thing coming up the shore, probably, I don't know, 200 yards from us, quite a ways down. And we're like, oh god, we're busted. It's rangers. They're gonna catch us up here camping and fishing, and we're not supposed to be doing. But as it gets closer, I'm like, that is either a giant ranger or a you know, moose or a bear or something. You know, I don't know, but it's on two legs. And it was getting close enough to where we were like, hey, hello. You know, because we assumed if it was a ranger or something, a flashlight would have popped on and said, what are you kids doing down here?
Right.
But when we said that, it picked up the pace towards us, and we could see that it had to have been 7 or 8 foot tall. But it was on 2 feet. And, you know, once it started picking up towards us, our poles were dropped. And we were the hell out of there.
Yes, sir. Wow.
3 or 4 of us, but we just turned and ran into the forest to go towards the car. But my buddy who drove, he had ankle surgery, so he was on crutches. And he's like, don't leave me behind. You guys want to talk about fight or flight? It was flight.
Wow.
We were just, as soon as we turned and headed into the forest, it turned and headed into the forest. And you could just hear big crashing, trees breaking, limbs breaking. And we were running for our lives. And I have no idea what it was, but it was gigantic. And it didn't talk, or there was no flashlights. There was nothing like that. And I don't know what it was, but you could hear our buddy screaming behind us. And we're just running into trees, you know, just tripping all over the place. all scratched up. We end up to the road, and we end up going to the car. And then I realized he has the keys. We don't have the keys. you just hear all this crashing in the forest. We ran past the car over the next berm, and we just sat there until our buddy finally came out of the forest with his crutches. And yeah.
Wow.
And we left him to die. But nothing happened.
We can always go look for the keys if we have to, you know?
Right.
But we left our fish and stuff there until sun up.
Wow. So
there was people around.
Yes, sir. There's strength in numbers.
For fish in the reservoir.
Yeah. Wow. That's cool, though. You know, when you think that's just really cool. I mean,
so at the top, there was all these stories like on Unsolved Mysteries and stuff of that exact area where guys were seeing stuff in their backyards. And I don't know what it was, but I say it's Bigfoot.
You know what? You don't know what it was, but you weren't going to hang around to find out either.
I was not.
Exactly.
No, sir.
When it's pitch black out and you're yelling at something and it doesn't make any sounds and picks up its pace towards you. It's
exactly. Time to go. And you see something that big, that big of a silhouette in, you know, at night, right. Nope, I'm out. See ya. Gotta go.
Yeah. And I've ran into bears and mountain lions and stuff sporadically. So, you know, they just have a certain walk and a certain way they move. And
right.
This was not that. I don't know what it was, but where there was some, freak of nature guy out there. I'm like, well, who would be out here in the dark?
Exactly.
And I was like, I don't want to find out. Let's go.
Nope. I'm out. Gotta go. Wow. Yeah. That is crazy. That is really crazy. I'm glad you shared that with us. That's actually really cool.
Yeah. I had been camping probably 20, 30 miles from there one time. And I was out there with a gal pal at the time and our kids. And she had woken up early. She's like, stay in the tent, stay in the tent. I'm like, what? You know, waking up from sleep. And she's like, there's a bear. And I just, you know, when somebody says there's a bear and you're in a tent, that will wake you right up.
Yes, well, sir.
I'm glad I'm in this waterproof tent.
Right. So I just open it up slightly, peeking out, and sure enough, there's a brown bear right there just going through all of our stuff. And we had taken all of our actual food, meat, and everything and put it inside the truck and locked it up. But he's eating a stick of butter and grapes.
Nice.
Nice combo. There you go. That's a healthy breakfast, dude.
Yes, grapes, just not for breakfast anymore.
Right. We had two tents and my kids were in the other one. And I'm like, kids, do not come out of your tent.
Don't make a noise.
Yeah. And I'm like, allow him to have his buffet and then get going.
Yes, sir. Whatever he wants.
Yeah, we packed up that camp quite quickly, and we were out.
Yes, sir. I don't blame you at all. That'd have been my goal. Let's get, how fast can we make this disappear? Let's get all this stuff in the truck. It's a race now.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow.
We can sort it out later.
Yes, sir. Well, that's right.
Just get it in. Neatness does not count.
Doesn't count. Nope.
That bear probably had the. He had a run right through him, so I'm sure he had a great time.
I'm sure he did. Oh, wow.
I'm like a stick of butter.
That'll loop things up real good.
Yeah.
Well, you know what they say, butter makes everything taste better.
Even grapes.
So there was one more I forgot to tell you guys. So in the middle of our beer wars, there was that Tam O'Shanter bar, and it was a constant battle of which beer company had the banner on the building, because then the owners would drive by. If they saw the other guy's banner, they'd be like, why do they have one and we don't? Blah, blah, blah. So this gal was the salesman for that. And I was pulling up there. We had one of our 6:30 a.m. meetings. And I see this Bud guy up on there cutting down our banner and hanging his banner up there.
Wow.
I'm pulling the parking lot. I'm like, hey, what are you doing up there? And he's like, the owner said I could take this banner down. And I was like, oh, did he? Right on. Well, he comes in about 10 o'clock. I'm going to take this ladder with me until then. You can explain to them what you're doing. He's like, I can't get down. I was like, oh, I know. See you later, buddy.
Yes, sir. That's the plan. You can't get down. That's the plan, man.
I said, you're going to actually answer to him when he gets there, and we'll see what he says. Okay. Yeah, so I left him up there for a few hours.
Nice. That's freaking awesome.
There was always shenanigans like that going on.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you guys ever driven one of those flatbeds with the forklift on the back?
No.
So I did that for a very short amount of time. This place was called CNC Sand, and they delivered landscape materials to people. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of rocks and what have you. That was one of my favorite jobs ever. It was just so easy. You know, people would forklift the stuff on the truck for you, and then you would have that little forklift, and it actually powered itself onto the truck. So you would just get in it, put the forks up, and then just basically stick it onto the truck and then put the forks down, which would just raise the whole entire thing up and right. chain it up.
Right.
But I would be bouncing around people's yard and that damn thing. Just going out like it was a three-wheeler. It was very leisurely work. Not high paying, but it was really fun to be able to do that.
Yeah, I've always wondered about that, you know, how that actually works out. If you're busting your butt all day, or if that you know, is more relaxing than what you think in your head. You know, you imagine it's, you go, man, you know, that's gotta be rough. But it sounds like it was a pretty good job.
Yeah, so there was two types of deliveries. You would also have the dump trucks, and that was more of like the fine sand or soil or whatever. Uh-huh. Or just very large rocks. Well, a couple times we either had the wrong address, or for some reason the customer didn't want it after it was already dropped off. Well, there's only one way to put the stuff back on there, because you know, it's not like it's on pallets like that.
Right.
So exactly.
You would just dump it at the end of their driveway. And yeah, there was a couple times where they're like, hey, you got to go out there and take a shovel and put all this stuff back in the truck.
Wow.
Oh, God. Or if it was, you know, the giant rocks, they'd have to get a skid loader out there or whatever and then lift them all up in the back of the truck. But yeah.
Wow.
I'm sure you come home from the end of the day and you get a big pile of rocks that aren't yours in the end of your driveway and not very happy.
We got a mountain growing out here. What's going on?
That would have been, let me see the delivery ticket. See that address? That's the number it got dropped at. Not my problem.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah, it's like those are the things you need to double check for sure.
Yep.
Yeah, take a shovel. I'll take a shovel. You're not going to like where I'm going to put that shovel, but I'll take a shovel. Bullshit. Got a triaxle dump there. You're going to tell me to shovel it. Okay. No, thank you.
So I'm going to tell you guys one more. So I used to dress up and go to a lot of 80s hair rock shows, dress up with the wig and the bleached jeans and the jean jacket and the Bon Jovi patches and all that. Uh-huh. And we were, I actually talked the boss into letting me borrow the Coors RV to go to Colorado Springs from Denver. And I'm all dressed up in it. And, you know, I'm not drinking this time, but I'm bringing a bunch of hooligans with me. But yeah, we drove that thing down to Colorado Springs, and essentially we were just telling girls that we were the backup band. And oh yeah, my buddies were just spinning yarns left and right to get girls on the bus.
All of a sudden, everybody turns into Stan. How you doing?
Right. How you doing, huh?
Look at well, you. I could
flip my wig, you know.
Yeah.
So we we had another brewery that we sold for called Oscar Blues, and they were kind of one of the first craft beer cans, Dale's Pale Ale. And they had a 40-foot RV. And Dale's brother, Chris, we're trying to get him into the Lodo area. And I'm like, hey, I got 50 tickets for this Poison Motley Crue concert. We'll take all the bartenders and staff, but you got to drive them all there. So we'll pick them up downtown. And these RVs are not buses, you know, they
right.
could fit, you know, five or six or seven people comfortably driving.
Right.
So I had 45 people show up.
Good luck.
And I was like, Chris, sorry, dude, you got to drive them all, man. And I was like, you can't say no. We're trying to sell these people on your product and stuff. And they just keep shuffling on, and his face is getting redder as they shuffle on. And he's just like, I'm going to kill you. There's people sitting in the sink, standing in the shower, you know, 12 people on the bed.
I got my chair. I'm driver.
Right. And everyone is three sheets to the wind and, you know, just jostling around. And yeah, it was wild. He was never driving after that, though. We only lost one person on the way back.
So there you go.
Made it back.
Well, yeah. What can you? What more can you ask for? You know, got 99% of the people are still here.
Right. The other one took an Uber.
Yeah. Oh, that's really cool. That is really cool.
Yeah, there was a lot of shenanigans like that. That were going on at the time, that I was so tired of doing promotions that I started just coming up with my own promotions. Because normally you'll draw a name, get out a t-shirt or something like that.
Right.
But I was at this bar and I was like, it was maybe midnight. All I had was a couple women's extra small, like tank tops to give away. Uh-huh. So I got, you know, five of the biggest guys in the bar to do a contest to win them. Of course, I didn't tell them what they were winning until after, but I was like, okay, you guys
got this cool swag.
You have to lay down on the dance floor, and your partner has to stand and dump this beer into your mouth, you know, and he's going to put his hand above his head and pour as much as he can in your mouth. Just knowing full well that none of it was going in their mouth. It was just going all over their face and their body. And they were already laying on the nastiest, dirtiest dance floor. And
it's amazing what people will do.
It is.
Yeah, it was quite a hoot. And then after the guy won, I was like, here's your prize, dude. An extra small women's tank top. I was like, and you gotta put it on right now.
Yep, hope it fits.
Yeah.
One size might not fit all. And no returnees, no give backs.
That's right.
The worst one I ever did, though, is we had tickets to a band called Korn. And so I took a bunch of baby diapers and I went and got those Mounds with almond joy. Hershey's with almonds bars. And I melted them in the diapers in the microwave. And I put five pieces of Korn in there as well. So these were steaming diapers, and I had four contestants that would put their arms behind their back. They can only use their mouth, and they had to dig the pieces of Korn out of the diaper, and whoever got the five pieces of Korn out of the diaper first won the tickets. So these things were just stuck to their face, steaming.
Wow.
People were walking into the bar and they're like, what
the hell kind of shit show is this?
What did I just walk into?
Diapers. And then we would grab them off their face for them to pull them down so they could start over. And they'd have the stuff all over their face. That was probably one of the best promotions I ever did.
It's amazing. What, like Ship said, it's amazing what people will do for anything free. Doesn't matter what it is.
We had another corn eating contest where for some reason every year we had these corn tickets, and this high-end steakhouse just insisted I have it there. And I'm like, you really want this kind of contest at your place? And they're like, yeah, we'll just do it right when we open at happy hour. So So I got those restaurant-sized industrial cans of cream corn and regular corn. And I gave them, they each had a Mike's Hard Lemonade, and then they each basically had like three cans of corn mixed and a ladle. And they had to eat all the corn and drink the Mike's, and whoever did it first would win. And there were four contestants facing each other. The first girl takes a giant bite too much and then just explodes and spits it all into the guy's bowl right next to her.
Oh, I was like, wow.
Hey, you still have to eat it. It's who's ever win.
Right.
Good luck. Wow.
I got one more. There was a St. Patrick's Day, which is funny, coming up. So we had a beer called Killian's Irish Red, and I would take Lucky Charms, and I would get big bowls of Lucky Charms and a ladle, and they would have Killian's Irish Red instead of milk, which I'm sure was not a good combo.
Oh, I bet not.
And to make it a little bit harder, I made them have a shake weight in the other hand. So in one hand, they had to keep the shake weight going and then try to eat with the other hand.
You really come up with some off-the-wall crap here, don't you?
He really does. Wow.
Yeah, I got tired of the normal contest of picking names. These were so much more enjoyable to watch. These guys couldn't get they couldn't keep the shake weight going or be coordinated enough to get the spoon in their mouth at the same time. So they're just poking their face with the spoon and getting stuff all over the place.
Oh, you gotta love it, man. You gotta love it.
Oh yeah. People will do anything for a keychain or a t-shirt.
Yes, they will. Yes, they will.
Yeah.
And they can just best is when you just give them a pint of beer at the end. Here you go. Drink up.
Yeah. Yes, sir. It's a beautiful thing. People are gullible.
Yeah. Well, without that, we'd have a lot less entertainment.
That's true. That's true.
I went to Cancun for spring break one year, and the very first day they had a little beer bong contest. But the beer tube was like, the size of a pen. It was just so small, and then a giant funnel, which, just took forever to drink it down. But I ended up winning this contest, and they gave me a free margarita, and I almost puked. I just beer bonged a gallon of beer, and now I get a free margarita.
All right. Great.
Gotta love it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well,
all right. I think that's all I got.
All right. Well, Mike.
It's been a blast.
Yeah, no, we really appreciate you coming on. This has been a blast. We really have enjoyed talking with you, and we appreciate it.
For sure. I love listening to you guys. I'm glad you kept it going after Tony did his thing. And it's been fun.
Yeah, it was one of those weird things that was kind of up in the air, and I thought, I'd like to keep this, keep doing what we're doing, what I'm doing. And then we had to sit down. I talked with the shipper, and he was like, yeah, he'd do it. So I was really appreciative of that. And it's, been able to keep this thing rolling. So we just want to keep it going,
Yep. See what happens.
I love all the different people you guys have on too. I love the military one, some of the other stuff of just all the different haulers, and then the gal that was doing the repos or whatever.
Susan, yeah. Susan.
Yeah.
She was a blast. Oh, my word.
Well, we can only help everybody spread the word, because, like I said, it's just a conversation. Everybody, has second. Well, I don't know what I talk about. I mean, yeah, just a conversation.
It's funny. They don't know what they'll talk about till they come on, and then,
Yeah, then you tell them, you're an hour and a half into the show.
Right.
Really?
Anybody that's been driving or in the warehouse, whatever, for a few years, really any industry, some wacky stories.
Yeah, exactly. Salesmen, salesmen on the road all the time.
Uber drivers, DoorDash people. I mean,
we'll talk to almost anybody.
We certainly will. So anyway, absolutely. Mike, we really do appreciate you coming on and having a conversation with us. We just really appreciate your time. We really do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. Well, we hope you enjoyed the show. And if you enjoyed the show, Ship, what can they do?
They can share the show. Share it with their friends, enemies, anybody they want. Just hit like and share all over the place and get the word out that people get noticed to the show. Because a lot of people find the show by accident.
Yeah. Well, let's just try and make this happen on purpose.
Right. Just imagine if it is on purpose.
That would be nice, wouldn't it?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but anyway, with that being said,
good night.
And?
Good day. Keep the hammer down in the hammer lane.
There you go.